Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And from the studio that smells like dehydrating tomatoes, it's Tony Brewski. With Real Ghost Stories Online, Jenny has the day off. I have a garden out back of the studio here. And I've decided instead of putting the massive food dehydrator in the kitchen, which takes up like all of the counter space, of what limited counter space we have, to just bring it in the office and put it on my little credenza thing over there by my printer. It fits. And now I have the wonderful smell of dehydrating tomatoes, which actually isn't half bad. It smells kind of like the Olive Garden in here today. A little odd, a little interesting, but there you go. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, and of course your Real Ghost Stories told by you guys. Our show today, filled with calls. It's open lines at 855-853-4802. Lots of really exciting stories to get through today. And if you've not done so yet, our new EPP website is up and functioning. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP or EPP member exclusives or something relating to EPP, and you'll go to that site and you can see what is there. Of course, you can't download anything unless you're a member and you're signed in, but you can certainly see all of the goodies that our EPP members get. Right now, we're sitting at about 45 bonus episodes of the show. A bunch of exclusive video content is up there, and there's a lot more to come. Now that this is up and running, it makes it that much easier for me to get video content posted up there, so we got a lot of that in the works. And I don't know if you were aware of this, I just discovered this the other day, but iTunes limits the amount of episodes that it will post or host or show. Or display, if you will, to 301, and we have surpassed that amount. So now there's this back archive of shows. There's like 50-some episodes that are not there on iTunes anymore because it's we've surpassed their podcast limit of the amount of shows that goes up there. So it's some back archives, but essentially the first 50 episodes of our show, we're going to start putting those up for our EPPs as well. So you'll be able to get access to some original episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. And there's some great episodes there at the beginning, including the interview with Andrea Perrin from The Conjuring, talking with Eric about his documentary, My Amityville Horror, where he talked with one of the Lutz children. Really, really creepy, creepy stuff. And so many good episodes at the beginning, too. So those are not going to fall into the abyss. We're going to be getting those up for our EPPs as well. So you get the EPP bonus episodes very soon. The archive content will be going up as well, the stuff that's fallen off of iTunes over the years. So it's going to be literally very soon hundreds of episodes of the show that you can't get anywhere else except for our EPP section at realghoststoriesonline.com. And that's for members. It's only $5 a month and you get a lot of good stuff. And that's what keeps our show on the air. We're trying to put as much value there as we can so you can enjoy that. And I'm excited. There's just so many neat things that are going up on that site. So anyway, check it out. Keep our show on the air. Let's kick off the show today with a caller. Of course, our phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first caller of the day, and I believe it is Alexis. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Autumn calling from Central Valley of California.
Autumn.
Just wanted to call in and give you a small story from my experiences as an ER nurse for the past 15 years. As you can imagine, I've seen just about anything that you can imagine and a few strange things. Being an ER nurse, death is unfortunately an everyday part of my life. So I'm used to it. I don't know if that's the best thing to say, but here is a short, tiny story of the strange things that I can't even say that I saw. One night, as you can imagine, working in the ER, I work night shift, which makes it even stranger sometimes. I was standing at the nurse's station, and I just started to feel strange. And I thought, maybe I'm just tired, been working a lot. I kind of glanced up into one of the rooms that we call the trauma bay, and I noticed a very confused-looking man. But then I noticed that this man wasn't quite solid. He had an almost pixelated look to him. And I kind of shook my head and blinked my eyes, and I looked away and I looked back, and he was still there. And he had sort of a confused look on his face as he looked to the left and then kind of looked to the right. And even as I'm remembering this story, I can still see that man's face. Even it was like a digital pixelated, that's the best I can describe it. And I still don't know if I really saw it, but I can see it in my mind to this day. So I looked away, and when I looked back the second time, he was gone. And the nurse that was sitting down next to me kind of said, "Are you okay? You look strange." And at that point, I had said, "You're not going to believe this, but I just think I saw something." And she said to me, "Oh, yeah, we see things in there all the time." So I hope that you enjoyed that story. I am becoming an extra podcast person. I really enjoy your show. It helps me on my way home from a very long 12-hour night shift in the ER every morning. So keep up the good work and stay spooky.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. What an interesting way to describe the paranormal entity that she saw, almost like pixelated. How interesting. And when you think of that, when you think of, obviously, you know, television or something not working correctly, that it would be pixelated. But it's even more interesting to think about that. Does that work in a similar fashion in the paranormal world as far as things coming and going? Do they look pixelated? I suppose if you're just catching it, like right at the cusp of it appearing and disappearing, that certainly would be a possibility. Very interesting story. I always like stories out of the medical community and ERs and all that, and I don't know why. I think it has something to do with like that, what was the movie that was years ago? Was it Bringing Out the Dead? It was a bizarre, I'm going to Google it here. I believe It was like at the cusp of Nicolas Cage having a good career right before everything kind of went to hell there. It was Bringing Out the Dead. And it was a bizarre, bizarre movie. Very dark, but kind of surrounding that sort of stuff. It wasn't bad. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. That's what we do here on the show, obviously. Let's go over to another caller, and let's go to Lisa, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, my name's Lisa, and I'm calling with a story about doppelgangers. Now, this story really isn't paranormal in the sense that nobody had passed at that time, so it wasn't really like a ghostly encounter or anything, but I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I've noticed that lots of people have called in about their different doppelganger or what's the other thing that you guys call it, the astral projection. And so I figured I would share this story and let you guys, you know, put in your two cents about what you think it was or whatever. Anyway, okay, so my story is actually about my mom and her identical twin sister. When I was in middle school, probably around 7th or 8th grade, I was in the living room, and all of a sudden my mom came out, and she was, like, very distraught, hysterically crying, super upset. And, you know, I said, "What's going on, Mom? You know, what's wrong?" And she tells me, "I was just folding clothes on my bed, and all of a sudden I look over, and at the foot of the bed was your aunt wearing a white shirt with a cat on it, just hysterically crying. And now I can't stop thinking about her, and I know something is wrong, but I can't get a hold of her on the phone." And now the thing is with my mom and my aunt that they always have had that kind of connection where if something's really, really wrong, or if one of them is experiencing any sort of like overwhelming feeling, the other one feels it too. And it's the same thing like with illnesses or anything like that. For example, my mom, if she has like a really bad asthma attack, my aunt would start having symptoms like coughing or something like that, and vice versa. So, you know, that was kind of common and normal growing up, but I never her actually seeing her like that. Anyway, my mom was really upset, and she couldn't shake the feeling, and then she knew that something was going on with my aunt because she had those feelings also, and it wasn't until she finally was able to get a hold of her that she started calming down. Now, my aunt explained to her that something was going on with my uncle and their oldest son. They had gone into a fight. My uncle had, like, threatened to kick him out, blah, blah, blah. And so that's why my aunt was so upset. But after my mom talked to her and was able to calm her down some, she said, "What were you wearing, or what are you wearing today?" And my aunt kind of paused for a second, and she said, "Well, I'm wearing a white shirt with a cat. Why?" And so, you know, she explained to her that she had seen her. And it was just, that story to me has always been, like, I don't know, so impactful, because I find it so interesting and amazing that they have a connection like that, to where it's not just a feeling, but also to actually have seen her. And she only saw her for, like, a moment. It was only for a few seconds. But she did see her, and being able to confirm the fact that what she saw her doing and wearing were the same things that she probably was doing at that moment was enough to confirm to me that twins are super, super connected. So anyway, I have other stories. But, you know, that was just one that I wanted to share since I was just listening to the podcast. And I heard another story about doppelgangers. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you so much for the show. I absolutely love it. I've made a little routine of doing my makeup and listening to it, which drives my husband crazy because it takes me longer to get ready. But whatever, I love it. So thanks. Bye.
That's great. It's always fun to have a reason to listen to something when you're doing kind of a mundane task. And I'm glad we could be part of that, and also part of driving your husband crazy. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story with us. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Lots of ways to get those stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. There's no doubt that the twins certainly have something interesting there. It's almost It's almost very comparable, I think. Maybe it is the exact same thing as that mother-child bond. I think twins sometimes carry that same sort of connection that it's beyond our understanding. Things like that, I hesitate to say are paranormal, simply because it's something that we don't understand. I don't think that makes it not normal. I think it is normal. We just don't understand it. Which I guess, you know, if you could look at everything that way, as far as the world of ghosts, then there's no definition of paranormal now, is there? If it's all normal, we just don't get it, then anyway, that could turn into one long theological conversation with myself, since Jenny's not here today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Alexis. Hi.
Hello, my name's Alexis. And I love your show, by the way. It definitely keeps me through the workday. It's amazing. Actually, my story happened last night. Well, I mean, it happened to my mom. And she woke up in the middle of the night needing to use the restroom, which is connected to her bedroom. And after she was done, she walked out. And she heard a loud noise. And she looked back to see what it was. And she turned around. The toilet paper and the dispenser had actually been thrown, as if thrown towards her, and that was laying at the end of the door. And this wouldn't actually be possible because the facing of it doesn't even face anywhere near the bathroom door. So that's strange. So she continues on to her bed, and she's laying down, and she's hearing the air turn on, and she's like, okay, that's a usual sound. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But above that sound, she hears a growling, like a screeching type of growl noise. And she's not understanding what the sound is. And so she associates it with what we call the ghost that's been around for a while now. But that's a different story. And she tells it, hey, be quiet. And it stops. Yeah, so many things have been happening like that. Another time she actually woke up, this wasn't last night though, she woke up to a man that looked like a lumberjack standing in front of her bed. And she screamed very loud, but I mean, I wasn't awoken by it, I didn't hear it. And she said as soon as she popped up, it was gone. So many things like this have been happening to us, and I'll call in for more stories. But yeah, keep it going, I love it, it's so awesome. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your real ghost story with us. Love that. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to do exactly what Alexis just did. Shared her real ghost story with us. And it's fun. We're starting to get closer and closer to Halloween season. I know we're just in July. I know. But still, we're getting closer and closer. We were in a store the other day, and they had some Halloween stuff up. And this is kind of like a crafty boutique, I guess you could say. And I said, oh, it's great. It's starting to get Halloween stuff out, I say. And he looks at me, he's like, it ain't stuff for this year's Halloween. It's stuff that's left over from last year. There's no way in hell I'd be putting Halloween stuff up yet. Like, that's nice. If a customer is excited and happy about something that's in your store, but you're telling me there's no way in hell you'd want to carry more of it. If we're up to me, though, we would probably have, like, Halloween stores year-round. You know, there would just always be there, like, you know, and there, I don't know if there is anywhere. I mean, I don't know if any part of the, you know, there's like the closest thing I guess you could say would be like a party store where you can rent costumes and things of that nature. I guess that's kind of similar. You can usually get makeup and stuff there too. But I'm talking the full blown, you got all the Halloween stuff, and it's crazy every year what comes out as far as the animatronics and stuff. One of the coolest things that I saw last year. Was where you take a projector, because projectors have gotten relatively inexpensive in the world of what projectors used to cost. You know, projectors, if you wanted one, used to be, you'd be dropping a couple grand to get that. Now, I mean, they make them for under $100 if you want a fairly cheap one and hook it up to your phone and, you know, project to a wall or to a window. It's not going to be super quality, but it can get the job done. I saw these DVDs now that will project essentially what looks like an apparition, and you can shoot it onto a wall. The best thing to do would be like shoot it onto a window or like a canvas behind a window. There's ways of making it really 3D and spooky looking. kind of like how Michael Jackson or Tupac did the post-mortem concert appearances over the past couple of years. You can essentially recreate something very similar to that at your home for relatively inexpensively, if you know how to do it. And I was thinking, with that sort of technology available, it's going to be amazing what we see people coming up with for haunted house displays in the next couple of years as that becomes more and more widely accepted as the norm, if you will. Anyhow, that's me ranting about getting excited for Halloween. 855-853-4802. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Jess in Arizona. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jen. This is Jess from Phoenix, Arizona. So I actually have to go to work right now, but I wanted to call in real quick and tell you a quick story. We actually, my family and I just moved from Chicago, Illinois to Phoenix, or Queen Creek, actually. And so we had just told our family members that we were moving, and one of our family members didn't take it too well. So that night that my mom had been talking to that family member, that night my mom said that she, in her dream, she was dreaming, but she says, I don't remember exactly what happened, but all I know is that it was something bad. And that it was attacking me, and then I kept saying, you know, Jesus, 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 you know, his name over and over until it finally went away. So that night we were just praying that it would go away, that it would leave, you know, whatever it was that attacked my mom that night, you know, that it would go away. And it did. Like, it never happened after that. And it was so weird because, one, even when we moved into the new house, we never had trouble in the house. Like, nothing. The house was, it was built in 2007, so it's a new house. There was nothing in that house. And, you know, all of a sudden we talked to this person who didn't like that we moved, and then my mom gets attacked by something. So it was really weird. Thankfully, that was the only time it happened, so we were really grateful for that. But back in Chicago, we're trying to sell our house, and one of the a mother in a family, when she was going through the house, she asked the realtor, is this place haunted? And the guy's like, no, you know. And even like one of my family members was telling her, no, it's not haunted, you know, we've never had trouble, which is kind of a lie, but like, it's not haunted. It's been haunted, but it's not haunted now. It was cleaned out, but it was so funny that, told mother who had problems in her old home, who is currently having problems in her old home, which is one of the reasons why they're moving, you know, would ask, is this place haunted? Did you guys ever have trouble? You know, things like that. So I just thought it was really interesting. I'll probably end up calling back another time just to tell you some other really scary stories. I would love to tell you the stories of my grandfather's house, which he still currently lives in, and my uncle and my cousin. It is literally the haunted house. Like, you know, when you hear about the mansions and you hear about how the haunted they are, and it's like that Halloween mansion, it is literally that. Not even joking. The house had a portal, and ghosts were coming in and out all the time. And it wasn't like one or two. Like, they were crowds of ghosts. Cousin even saw, like, shadow people, a bunch of shadow people walking back and forth in the hallway. But I will definitely call back to tell you guys those stories, because they are really good, and I can't wait to tell you. So I got to get to work, but I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for everything, and I hope you guys have a good day, and I hope the audience, whoever's listening, has a good day too. Okay, bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. What do you think about a haunted house? Once haunted, always haunted? I know you can clean a house, you can get things to go away, and you can have a long period of calm. But if someone asks 10 years after a haunting, whether it be something, you know, somewhat minute or somewhat serious, can you honestly ever say No, this house isn't haunted. If you had a haunting there at one time, you got it to go away for a while, or it's been dormant. That's kind of how I feel half the time. I think sometimes those things are just dormant. Although it does, you know, lead to the question of people who are more sensitive to those things that can seem to pick them up in places that no one would ever say was haunted. Wouldn't that make almost every place a haunted location? Just about who they choose to make themselves known to, right? I don't know. Something interesting to think about. Phone number is 855-853-4802. If you've not done so yet, press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to our show on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. Lots of places to find the show these days. And you get all the episodes sent to you as we release them. Also helps us climb those charts. And we thank you in advance for that, because that helps us get new listeners, grow the community, and it all works out lovely. Let's go to our next caller. Hi.
Hi, it's Jenny again. I have a story about the dorm room that was my friends, Atlanta and Monica, and Monica being possessed. Called it a few times. I just kind of wanted to weigh in on a few things. One is I went on YouTube and watched that hilarious video of, I guess it was Bob from Chattanooga, calling the Talkie Dead. And did you notice that the timestamp actually was in 2013? I remember you asking, well, you know, could it have been if it was possessed or something of that nature? But the funny thing then, like I said, is that it's from 2013, and you actually started the Richard from Chattanooga saga began in 2014. So I was beginning to wonder, I don't know if he's possessed or not, but I know that there's some crazy stuff going on there. Another thing, too, is that I was going to clear up some things about sage. What I've discovered is that there's multiple different versions of sage, but it kind of depends on what you need it for. But basically, the general gist of it is that it's for cleansing and neutralizing the energy and purifying your home, and you can do it pretty much any time that you feel like a negative tension in your home or whatnot. I pretty much do it every time I move into a new place. Now, no, Tony, it's not a pile of cooking sage that you light. It's like a bundle of leaves, and they wrap it together with string, and then you just light the end of it, and you basically walk around and you tell anything that might be negative or anything that, you know, you don't want in your house, you tell it that it's not welcome in your house. You can put it out and use it for next time or save it for later or whatever. It can be different colors. I found that there's a blue one, and there's also a white one. I prefer the white one. Because I just have to smell a bit better. Because I usually have a sore throat after I burn it for some reason. There's probably not supposed to breathe it in. But anyway, I was going to wrap up the call with just two quick stories from the dorm again. After the whole incident with Monica being dead and Atlanta having to save me. One time I had gone to the common room area, which was like a big room, and there was couches and chairs and a pool table and a big screen TV and stuff like that, you know, just kind of an area where, you know, boys and girls could hang out because it was a girls' dorm. You could hang out pretty much all the hours of the night, not have to worry about getting in trouble with your RA or the school or anything. I had been out there too long because I had been watching the TV. And I was laying on the couch and I fall asleep. And my friend Atlanta had, you know, gone looking for me. And she went into the common area and she said my name as she was walking up to me. She was trying to scare me. She was trying to be funny. And when I opened my eyes, there was a hooded cloaked figure that had its arm stretched behind her, stretching at me in the same gesture that she was stretching at me. And as soon as I woke up completely, I sat up and I was terrified and I had wide eyes and I was flinching and looking at her. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I told her, and she was freaked out. You know, we ran back to our dorm. And pretty much was the end of that evening because we were like, yeah, we're going to hide in our dorm for the rest of the night. And then about 2 months, 3 months before that semester of school was over, I went for a walk in the evening. I used to stay up late writing English papers because that's when I get all my best work done, is about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And the way our dorm was set up is that it was like corridors, it was like hallways connecting hallways, and it was in a big square, and there was a courtyard in the center. And I was walking around the hallway inside the dorm, and they had this old raggedy piano that was in the hallway of one of the corridors that didn't have any rooms. It's like a little storage hallway. They keep chairs and tables and stuff like that in there. And there was this raggedy piano that had missing keys and all kinds of stuff. And the light was off in that hallway. I turned around the corner to walk into that hallway, and I heard the piano playing. And, you know, when I tell people the story, they're like, "Oh, somebody was listening to music, blah, blah, blah." But, I mean, I was an art major. I mean, I turned it into art education later, but I was an art major, and I know what live piano music sounds like. I've been around it enough to know that it's just a certain tone about it, just a certain different pitch to it. So I look down in the hallway, and the lights are still off, but I'm hearing the piano playing. So I walk forward, and I finally walk into the door, and I flip the light on. And right before I flip the light on, the piano stops playing. And I look at the piano, and I slowly walk over to the piano, and it still has 2 or 3 missing keys. And I press a few keys, and of course it's flat and sharp. It's out of tune. But before I turned on that light, it was playing beautifully. Or somebody was playing it beautifully. I don't know. Anyway, love the show. Have a good day. Thanks for doing what y'all do.
You have to figure the things that someone loved in life, objects that someone loved in life, sometimes can be manipulated on the other side. It seems to make a certain amount of sense. There's a lot of people who get more attached to objects than people sometimes, so maybe some people don't come back necessarily to haunt or get a message across to another human being, but they come back to share that connection in death with the object that they still care about. And thank you, by the way, for sharing the information on saging. Interesting stuff. I'm still a little bit confused, so could I get my garden sage and wrap it up in a rope and light it on fire and walk around? Would that work the same? Or I just want to know what type of sage it is that you're supposed to use really more than anything. That's my question. Now, I know it's not like, you know, you're not going and getting the Mrs. Dash salad blend, sage. You're getting some sort of sage, but what is it? Where do you get this sage? I think you buy it online, but if you wanted to grow it, is this like a variety available at the flower, the garden store? Or I don't know. That's why I ask. Anyhow, thanks for sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802. That's the number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And by the way, the Ask Tony and Jenny segment that we've been doing, we'll continue to do a short one once a week here on the show. With some of your questions, but now that the new EPP website is up and alive, a lot of that, we're going to be creating that on a pretty much a weekly basis, the Ask Tony and Jenny segment, and that's anywhere from like a 15 to 30 minute segment where we're answering your questions on camera every single week. So another added bonus feature and added video feature that's up there on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com, so be sure to check that out. There's already one of them up there as well for you to check out when you sign up to be an EPP, an extra podcast person, and support the show and keep it on the air. Let's go to another caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hello, my name's Belle. I am a current resident of Norfolk, Virginia, originally from Pennsylvania. This is my last duty station when I was in the United States Navy. To make this much shorter than the first time I tried to record, me and my girlfriend got a Ouija board. We were stationed together, got to know each other very well, and we ended up talking or trying to talk to one of her dead friends before she actually joined the military. His name was Josh. So we ended up proceeding to get this Ouija board, put silver on the board so no bad entities would get in, lighting candles and drawing the blinds, because it was 1500 in the afternoon. And we proceed to talk, and we ask who's in the room. It spells out Josh, and she keeps asking the board some questions. And on top of it, it just started to become a little weird, because after it said it was Josh, her old friend, we started asking other questions like age and stuff like that. And out of nowhere, one of the candles that we had lit on a platform, the flame jumped off and hit the carpet. After doing so, we both had to take our hands and stomp it out because obviously don't want to start a fire. And we both believed that was the moment that something was able to actually come into the house. Well, the board started counting back from A, B, C, D, E, F, and just going all the way down the alphabet. And we asked it to stop. Then it started just squiggling around to the middle of the board. And then went to the two letters, Zulu, Oscar, twice. After trying to do some more convincing, we finally made this entity say goodbye. We closed the session, tried to forget all about it, made dinner and whatnot. A couple days later, some weird stuff started to happen. My girlfriend April lives alone at the time, and she said whenever she was naked and in the water, like in a bath, she could feel like someone was staring at her and just looking at her. I also started having the same things, even though I lived further away in a three-story house. I would feel the same thing after I get out of the shower, just this dark thing I would feel staring at me at the end of the hallway, so I'd rush in my room and slam the door shut. But it proceeded from there. It actually got worse where I was at when it followed me. At 3 a.m. every night, somehow I would always end up down in the living room on the couch with the television on, watching cartoons or whatever. My roommate upstairs had duty, and she locked her door because she was just a little psycho about stuff like that. And then all we heard were these three loud pounds over and over and over again. Just boom, 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 three times. After it happening and it being a reoccurring thing, I looked it up, and it was considered the witching hour. And after that, every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, something would happen, whether it would be pounding, or one instance, my husband at the time was downstairs making a sandwich, and I heard big boots walking around. I'm like, oh, Kyle must be looking around.
And that's where that ends. You know, it always makes me wonder when we have a call like that that cuts out, where it's describing something maybe not so bright. I don't mean intelligence-wise. I mean not a white light entity. If there's something that doesn't want its story being told, and it's stepping in. Maybe that's an over-assumption. Maybe that's putting, you know, a little bit too much stock in some of the calls. Sometimes phones just cut out. We've all been on calls that drop. But sometimes you really have to wonder on the timing of things like that when they occur, especially on this show. Thank you for calling and getting out what you could of your story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jimmy. My name's Shari. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. And I have a bunch of stories, as I'm really sensitive to a lot of things that happen. But one story in particular sticks out, mainly because it's in the form of a recurring dream that has started and then it stopped, and now out of the blue, it's decided it wants to start again. So here we go. In July of 2014, I had emergency surgery, and I was on a lot of painkillers when I got home. So, you know, I'm not used to being on that amount of painkillers. I know you can hallucinate a lot, but, yeah. So, yeah, whatever. I was on a lot of painkillers, and I had a really strange dream that night. I dreamed that I was up the street at this house, and I know where this house is, and I know who the family is who lives there. I don't know them, but I've seen them before. But I was at this house, and this guy and his daughter were in the basement with the babysitter. And he was telling the babysitter, oh, you know, my daughter's not herself tonight. She's just a little grumpy. And giving her a bunch of instructions, whatever instructions you give a babysitter. I don't have children, so I don't know. But I looked over at the little girl, like, just looking, and I could clearly see that the little girl was possessed. Like, she was speaking in a really deep voice. Her neck was bending at odd angles. She was just growling. It was clearly, she looked straight like the girl out of The Exorcism. So I'm, like, looking at the guy and the girl, and I'm like, do they not see that this child is possessed? So the guy just kept giving, the father kept giving the babysitter more instructions about, you know, I would probably try to put her to bed. She's doing this little weird voice thing tonight. Just ignore it. She wants attention. So growing up in the church, I immediately just started praying. And I noticed every time I said, Jesus, the little girl would kind of cut her eye at me, but not really, but she just ended up getting real agitated and annoyed. Like, the more that I prayed, I would see her getting more annoyed, but it was like she was going out of her way not to look at me. So finally, I just started saying, like, the name of Jesus over and over and over, until I guess she couldn't take it anymore, and she's like, let's go upstairs, and the little demon boys. So they all decided to start walking upstairs. First the babysitter, then the father, and the little girl was behind them. So I, you know, I'm walking behind her, still praying and, you know, saying Jesus and all of that. And she turns around and, like, bends her neck at this really odd angle and says, like, in a deep voice, and I'm not going to try to imitate it because it's terrifying to just remember it. She says in this really deep voice, it's time for you to go now. Like, I got on her nerves. And I don't know if she pushed me, but I felt like a really heavy weight, like someone pushed me backwards down the steps. And I just jolted up, like, in bed. Now, I sat up to a straight, like, upright seated position. So before I go further, I want to kind of explain why that's significant. I was still under the influence of anesthesia. I had also been given two, like, extra strength oxycodone, and I had surgery on my stomach. So the fact that I just bolted upright out of a deep sleep, you know, with surgery on my stomach when I couldn't hardly walk, much less sit up straight, was kind of stood out to me. And it almost felt like it pushed me back in my body. So, you know, I sat up for a minute, and I was just like, oh my gosh, did that really happen? Did I astral project? Did I dream that? Am I just really high? I don't know what's going on. So I was still feeling kind of scared, and I looked down and saw my Yorkie, who usually sleeps on my lap, especially when I'm not feeling well. She'll sleep right beside me. And I'm like, oh, you know, come here, trying to come, you know, get some type of comfort from her, and she just wouldn't come to me. And every time I tried to, like, beckon her close, she would growl, like a deep, I'm not playing, don't touch me kind of growl. So that freaked me out even worse. So I just kept praying, and eventually I fell back into a deep sleep. So, like I said, I have a lot of other stories, but I kind of wanted to get your take on that, mainly because these past couple of nights I've been waking up at 3 a.m., and I know the significance of 3 a.m., and I've been waking up just thinking about that girl and thinking about the house and thinking about the demon. And, yeah, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't just seem like a dream. It doesn't seem like I was just high from the medicine. So I really wanted to get someone else's take on it. And, yeah, want to know what you think. And like I said, I have a bunch of stories from
childhood all the way up to now that I would love to share with you. My family, before we really got into church, was into a lot of, I don't want to say witchcraft. We would just experiment. We like to read, and we find out things. We're like, oh, I want to try that. So I know my mom, like, one time made me astral project as a child, from what I hear. There was a vortex in our room. We have a bunch of stories. But anyway, I'd love to hear your take on this. And I'm actually looking forward to becoming an ECC member probably next week when I get paid. So I hope to hear this on the show. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Sometimes when you have a dream and you wake up from that dream, it feels like more than just your mind playing tricks with you or entertaining you. And I'll take your word for it that it felt significantly different than a normal dream. And how troubling and bizarre. And it just doesn't, you know, there's weird dreams you can have, but then to have the animals also reacting to you. The animals, in theory, should not be reacting to the dream that you had in a way that they normally do not act. I mean, if your dog is always passive aggressive against you or just has no interest in you, and then exactly the same way it always did after the dream, sure, it's how the dog is, but it's a very out of character for the animal. It tells me there might be something there. And I think what was most telling about that call, that story, was at the very end, where, and my family dabbled in this and that, and it was just, you know, kind of, you know, I think that may have been the answer. I think you may have something following you. You may have something attached to you. It may not always be super active, but at times it may come out, and that sounds like it was coming out and trying to make itself known through your dream. I don't know. That'd be my take on it. I think there's something connected from your past. And unfortunately, when you're a little kid and your parents are doing things like that, and they don't know what they're doing, and you don't know what's going on, you just kind of sometimes just fall prey to whatever it is that they were dabbling in. Even though they moved on and are no longer into that sort of thing, those sort of things don't just go away when you stop dabbling in them. Until that window and that door is officially closed. And if that door's not been closed, well, there you go. You have a dream like that and you call into a ghost show. That's honestly how I feel about that situation. Thank you for sharing it with us. We'd love to hear more from you. And thank you in advance for becoming an EPP. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it, so please do consider doing that. And like I said earlier, new EPP website, it's up, all great content up there, all the bonus episodes, you can check it out. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, or you can sign up for an entire year if you like, and you don't need to use PayPal either. You can if you like, that's still an option, but there's also another credit card processing way that we can do it on there, all secure outside of PayPal. So if you've been hesitating to become an EPP because you don't like PayPal, well, now there's another option for you as well. So check that out. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Click Become an EPP and help keep our show on the air. We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.